Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to have you this morning. Appreciate that. And I'm going to hurry along as I always do. Well, I call it hurry. But anyway, God is so good, and we're going to do things a little different. You know, as we were singing that last song, you probably won't understand me in what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I want to glorify the Lord. You know, you can sing songs like that, but if you've never had problems in your life, and you didn't trust in the God to bring you through, and He has, that's something the devil and hell can't steal from you, and nor can anyone else. And what it does is it builds your hope, your faith, your love, your trust in the Lord. You're talking about all the persecution that's going on in Algeria. Well, they've been doing that off and on, but not to this level in a lot of these countries. But now they're killing thousands at a time, devastating villages. And yet these people love God. And here we sit in our lovely churches. And it just, to me, it feels kind of lukewarm. It's like, man, I just like to experience God. You know what I mean? I get bored when there's not things going on. Man, I was the same way in combat. People thought I was nuts. Jim, get back here. Get down. Say, you just take care of yourself. I'm okay. But see, a lot of people hated my arrogance. At times it was arrogance. I was lost. I didn't know the Lord. But see, with that arrogance, I believe God gave me a lot of that and prepared me in it. Because a lot of times He'll ask me to do things that nobody else will do. And sometimes I'm gullible enough just to do it without a second thought. Just do it. And that is God's will. So folks, you want an exciting life? Man, I get bored so easily. Ask my wife. But I like excitement. That's why I do the prisons. Just went Thursday and had a great time up there with them. A lot of hardships up there that they're going through. There's a lot of danger. Quite often people get killed up there. But anyway, I loved to go where I have to trust God. You know what I mean? I go in and say, God, if you're not with me and you don't see me through this, I'm probably a dead man at times. But God always brings me through so I can praise Him in it. I want to do things just a little bit different today. If you would, turn with me to Proverbs. Chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. You know, we read a lot of times these verses, and sometimes they're just words. But my prayer today is that these things, the verses that we read, will no longer just be words, but really proclamations and determination that we're going to do what it says. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. It says, and it trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, that is Jesus, and he will direct your path. You know, a wonderful lady, when I was saved in a Baptist church, and a few months or whatever later, or a year, I'm not sure of the time, but when the Lord called me into ministry, that's the verse she gave me. And I'm like, wow, that's an awful good verse. To learn to trust in the Lord. See, it's so important to learn how to trust. Because when you don't trust and you don't know how to trust, you lose all hope. You see things in a different way. You know, you see yourself a lot of times as inadequate, having less, not good enough. That why would God even care for you? Because you don't care that much about yourself because of the lack of trust in God. So it brings a lot of problems. You know, it's kind of difficult. A lot of people want to know exactly what's going on. Has anything ever happened that you're like, what is this about? Why? What could possibly be good in this? But then you go to the Lord and you pray about it. See, you don't understand it, but yet you can trust him. And that's the hardest thing for a lot of people to do, is to be able to trust in the Lord, to just trust him. Say, God, I trust you. I don't understand how this even works or how it can even turn out right. But yet, Lord, I put myself in your hands. I trust you with everything. So wherever it goes, whatever happens, it's okay because my trust is in you. And he brings us through. Now, a lot of times, if we don't have the trust and these things happen to us, guess what happens? We lose hope. Turn with me, if you would, again to Psalms 43, verse 5. This is David speaking to himself. And I've been there where I had to speak to myself. And I use this verse. Psalms 43, verse 5. And this is what he says to himself. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? See, we have a soul. We walk around and live in a body, but in our body is a soul, the real us, along with a spirit that's been given from God. And our soul is our will, it's our mind, and it's our emotions. It's us. And so David's speaking to his soul. He's saying, why are you cast out? Why are you down in the mouth? Why have you lost all hope and thought and given up? Oh, my soul, and why are you disquieted within you? And he says here, David is telling himself, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Folks, this is how you encourage yourself in the Lord. You don't understand all the things that are going on. You're suffering a lot of pain, and it's like, God, why? Did I do something wrong? Do you not like me anymore? You punishing me? What's going on? And there's times we just need to go to the Lord and in that encourage ourselves and realize that our hope is not in our circumstances, our situation, no matter what it is, but our hope is in God. See, folks, there's things in our lives that we have to make real. And we have to learn to stand on it. But a lot of times, I think what happens is we're professional hearers, but sometimes we don't know how to do. And that's where we fall short a lot of times. Another one is Psalm 63:1. It says there, David speaking, it says, "O God, you are my God." And he says, "Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Folks, have you ever been real thirsty before? I remember being in the Boy Scouts. I don't know how old I was, 12, 13 years old. But anyway, our scout leaders brought us all in, and we were going to have a 10-mile hike in the summer in Missouri. It was 100 plus. And I mean, it was hot, but young kids, 12, 13, hey, that doesn't bother us so much. So how they set it up on this 10-mile hike is you were to have a half a canteen of water. Why they came up with this, I don't know, but I'm like, I'll never do it again. And I don't know if they will ever do it again. But anyway, they went around checking our water supply, and they would dump it out if they thought it was a little over half. And then we could take one candy bar. Just think of it. Hot weather, no water, and a candy bar. Yeah, you get the picture, I think. Anyway, we start out. We're walking and walking and we're sweating, and man, it is so hot. No air. We get to this one creek bank that was 5 miles away. We finally get there. We sit down and we're exhausted, and a lot of them are pretty well already out of water. And so we ate our candy bar. I think I had a big Babe Ruth candy bar. Peanuts even. And the chocolate. And of course, I was hungry. You know, young kids, they eat all the time. So we all ate our candy bars. Most of us drank the last of our water. Now we had 5 miles to get back. So off we went. And I want to tell you, by the time we got there, our tongues were sticking to the roof of our mouth, and that we couldn't swallow. And it was terrible. So we went in, then we had to stand in line. There was like 30 or 40 of us standing in line waiting for somebody to get done drinking at the fountain so we could get some too. And we were hurting. That's a thirstiest I think I've ever been. Big mistake. They should have not done that, but at least if they were smart enough, they wouldn't have told us to take candy bars along with that. But folks, how thirsty do we get for the Lord? How often do we get to the point as God? God, if you don't help me, if you don't touch me, if you don't show me, I'm done. I don't know what else to do. But Lord, I'm hurting. How thirsty are we? We need to get to the point where really our search for the Lord and our thirst and hunger for the Lord is really do or die. And it is. I'll be honest with you, it is. It's do or die. Because our walk is so serious. And a lot of us don't realize it. So it's important to be thirsty and hungry for God. But see, a lot of people, they'll go to church on Sunday, put up with the message, you know, we get through that, have a nice meal, and we go home, and a lot of times there's no more thought or talk about God or anything until next Sunday. Now, I know none of you are like that. You all are earnest in what you do. And I thank God for that. But there's a lot of people that aren't. They've never felt that thirst and that hunger. Now in John's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus met up with this lady who came to get water at the well. It's the Samaritan woman. And I know you've heard it hundreds of times, but maybe I can kind of shed a little different light on this, Lord willing. So John chapter 4, and we'll go with verse 7, because I've got to hurry. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. You know, the Lord does ask things of us. Are we prepared to answer yes, Lord? Or do we make excuses? I want to just say, Lord, whatever. Whatever you want, I'm willing. Help me to do it. Show me what you want. Then in verse 9, it says, the woman of Samaria said to him, said to Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman, at that? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you asking me for something? Who am I? The Lord ever kind of deal with you and you kind of like, I can't do that, or why would you ask me? And that's kind of where this woman was. I don't think she had really much self-worth. I think she was about as down could be at that point. You see, the women go early in the morning to get water because it's cooler. She went pretty well in the middle of the day to get water. That way there would be no other women around and probably not much of anybody around the well. So she didn't have to put up with people. See, we kind of get, when we're feeling down, it's like we don't like putting up with people. Did you ever notice that? Kind of like being by ourselves. Well, they don't care anyway about me. And then you're feeling, well, how could they like me anyway? And so you avoid people, and that's what she was doing, but met Jesus there. Folks, a lot of times we'll meet Jesus in our worst times. And the Lord may ask something of us. And a lot of times in that, we need to kind of look at ourselves. God, I'm a nobody. What have I got to offer you? Lord, I fail you all the time. I never measure up. But yet the Lord asks things of you. So he's trying to get into the spiritual, into the emotional. He wants to break loose that feeling that's in our soul so he can deal with that and kind of bring us out So she was emotionally dry. I think she was at the lowest point. You know, when Jesus answered and said to her in verse 10, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, he said, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. You see, the thing is, a lot of us, we don't realize the gift. We honestly don't realize the gift. And so we fail to ask. So when Jesus asked something of me, I said, Lord, I give you everything, but you need to do it through me. Because that's the only way it works. You see, I love the gift. I'm not afraid of the gifts. There's times that because we don't understand the gifts or maybe even want to fool with the gifts that we kind of reject a lot of things. But you know, there's even hope and hope for her in her life. And Jesus always said to us, those of us that especially are down and out, doesn't he say, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden. He says, I'll give you rest. See, we try to do a lot of things to measure up. And the Lord says, take my yoke upon you, for it is light and it's easy. You know, even when we have given up on ourselves, God hasn't given up on us. I think that is so neat that God doesn't give. There's so many times that I've given up on me, and God is right there. I ran from God once. I don't remember what happened, but I just said, I'm done. I'm finished. No more. And we quit going to church for a few weeks. Because I was done. I just fed up. So many things happened, and of course, it's things that you don't understand. I didn't know really at that time how to really get my soul back in touch with God. I didn't know how to really go back and hope in God and learn to trust Him. And so I ran. I didn't get swallowed by a whale, but just about as bad. And so here I went from Michigan all the way to Missouri, met up with a cousin of mine, and we were talking about different things, and man, I had nothing to do with God. And he said, hey, this speaker's coming to our church. And he's quite famous, and he says, you might want to meet us tonight and hear him. I said, yeah, whatever, you know. So we went. He didn't show up. So he stood us up, sent me to where I really didn't want to go. I was going as a favor to them. And then they didn't show up. And so he preached, and it was like he preached right at me. And the Lord used that to bring me back to him. You see, we can run. You can't hide, but you can run. But I promise you, God will come after you because he loves you and he cares for you. And he wants to teach you how to build your hope in him and not set your hopes and desires and your feelings and your peace on good things happening in your life. Folks, it shouldn't matter because we know God is in control. He's in charge. He's going to bring us through no matter what. But we've got to learn to trust him, to follow him, then to obey him. So we got to learn how to hope in him. Why is my soul disquieted? Why is my soul having these problems? Don't you understand, soul, that God is your hope? And it's not anything else, but it's God. And that's whom I'm going to trust. There's a lot of people, a lot of good Christians that get beat up. And a lot of times they get beat up by maybe other Christians who don't understand them. Folks, we've all got a past. We all carry a lot of baggage sometimes. And sometimes that comes out, and we may not like it in others, so we can reject them. But the Lord says we're supposed to love one another. He doesn't say anything out, we'll just put up with them or ignore them. But he says to love them. Folks, we've all got a past. We've all got a lot of hurts and frustrations. And here we sit in church. So look at the work God is still doing in your life. We need to take our past and, we need to kind of put it behind us. Just throw it away. Who cares? The past is the past. Why would you bring up the past? Throw it away, let it go. Let's look on to the future. God, I know where I was, and I know my failures, and I know what my weaknesses were, but no more. God, I'm putting my hope. I'm putting my faith. I'm putting it all in you. You lead me. And then we learn how to be cautious that we don't make these same stupid mistakes that the enemy makes us do sometimes. And then we learn to change. See, the past is the past. When we receive Jesus, we become new creatures. All things, it says, it has passed away. All things have become new. You're a new person. Don't let the past drag you back. Learn to put your hope. God, you're my hope. Without you, I'm a failure. But with you, I'll never fail. Because I want you to lead me, and I let you lead me. And God is faithful, and he does that. So folks, get out of yourself. I had to get out of myself. I go back and look at my past, folks. It's devastating. But it's the past. I'm looking to the future. And my hope is in God, and I trust him. I don't have to understand everything. But I trust him. And I think he's doing a good job in me, even if others don't think so. It's okay. I just know how faithful my God is. And my prayer is that this is just not words, but you make it reality in your life. But my God, put my God, whom I trust, will take good care of me. And I trust him in it. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your love and patience, your understanding. Father, you see our weaknesses. And then you use our weaknesses as strength as we learn to trust in you. And you then minister through us. Father, you're so good. You take the impure, you take the impossible, you take the weak, Lord, and you make it strong. Thank you, Father, for your word and your promises. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.